Right now, time to spin around the National Football League with friend of show, the great Alan Bell. This is my Howard Cosell imitation. It's not very good, Alan, but welcome to the show. You're too young to remember Howard Cosell.
Let me say this. First off, appreciate you having me, buddy. That's a pretty good Howard Cosell, man. Like that, you got it down, dude. That's good.
Oh man, listen. It was as a kid growing up in the 70s, begging my mom to stay up to watch the first half of the Monday Night Football game and then watch Howard Cosell do the halftime highlights. Remember, this was pre-ESPN, pre-NFL Network, pre-all, you know, Twitter and all these streaming services and stuff like that. The only way to get out-of-market highlights was to watch Howard Cosell at halftime. And as a Giants fan, you always prayed that he would – that. Especially after a Giants win, that one of the games would be your game. So it was, I'm telling you, it was a different time back then, as we old guys like to say, Alan.
It was a different time, you know, and it's crazy to think about that. You know, it's funny, like, you know, I used to watch, you know, football with my grandfather, you know, every Saturday, right? We would do it, and I did it growing up all the time. And he would talk about the exact same thing, you know, and he's going even way further back. You know, just say, you know, you're lucky. Like, I got to see my team, you know, once a year.
Right.
You know, and we were lucky to do it. And you hope, you know, that it was like in the middle of the day, because if it's night, you couldn't do it. Just wild to think about those times.
No question about it. Alan Bell from CBS Sportsline, kind enough to join us. All right, let's get into the Titans real quick. What were your thoughts post their loss to the Steelers at home? I thought a lot of their shortcomings, especially on defense, came back to haunt them vis-a-vis not being able to get off the field on third down and not getting a sufficient pass rush.
Yeah, so, you know, a game like that, you know, against the Steelers, you know, you just had two of the best teams in the NFL play against each other. It didn't really, you know, mean much for the division. It, you know, it might have, you know, seeding implications later on down the road. But other than that, my takeaway is this, is that it was a good test, you know, for both teams to see where you excel at and where you have to get better at. And you've got, you know, the rest of the season to do it. You know, obviously the Titans do have, you know, an issue in the secondary, but I'm not going to put it all on them. You know, you look at the Steelers, their offense is so much better, excuse me, than people think. It's incredibly diverse. Ben is getting the ball out faster than I've ever seen him in his career. So he essentially negates your pass rush, which leaves your secondary completely on an island. So, you know, while the Titans do have issues, again, I think the Steelers' offense had something to do with, you know, kind of exacerbating that as well. But, you know, the bigger takeaway and what we've been talking about the last few weeks is that the Titans were due for a loss because they're leaving too many points on the field with this kicking situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all like Gus around here, but, like, they got to figure this thing out. He's 5 for 5 beyond 50-plus yards. He's 5 for 11 under 50 yards. Like, the consistency is not there. So in the NFL, if you're leaving 3, 6, 9 points on the field every single week, you're going to play a good team and lose.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But, you know, based on what the Steelers did in that second half and allowing the Titans to come back almost erase a 20-point deficit, I'm not ready to crown the Steelers yet. I want to see what they do this Sunday in Baltimore before I crown anybody. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think, you know, this season, I mean, take a look. You know, 3-4 weeks ago, we were talking about that the Chiefs, you know, are unbeatable. And they, you know, they're still a great team, don't get me wrong, but they kind of come back down to earth. The Green Bay Packers looked unbeatable. Then we saw a bad loss. So what I'm getting at is exactly what you're saying. I think we're going to go through the season, and we're going to see that there are probably, I don't know, 6-7 teams, you know, that can truly compete for a Super Bowl. And it just kind of depends on which week you get them. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a phenomenal finish to the season. But I'm with you. You know, the Steelers could go out and the Ravens could blow them out. And I'm not going to go the opposite way and so, you know, throw them under the bus either. I think we've just got some really good teams. And, we're just going to have to figure this thing out as the season goes.
Alan Bell is our guest from CBS Sportsline. You're right. You know, this isn't a loser leaves town match, right? All these teams are going to figure in as we go along. But back to the Titans for just a second. How concerned? You mentioned the kicking situation, which is significant, but how concerned should Titans be about this lack of pass rush and the issues that they've had on third down going forward? Because as you go forward, you're going to be facing, you know, this better offenses, better quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's concerned for sure, you know, and it seems like, you know, obviously secondary is a depth issue You know, and it's like you get Odori back, but then you lose Christian Fulton, right? So you just don't really have that much depth to play around with. Plus, you know, like we just talked about, you know, it's an entire defense type of thing. So if you're, you know, pass rush, your linebackers aren't getting to the quarterback, you're going to leave your secondary on an island. So it's complimentary. Like, you know, they're going to have to figure some things out, and I think they will against Cincinnati, at least the defensive line, because you're going up against essentially an entire number two and number three offensive line. Yeah. But if they can't get after Joe Burrow, watch out, because the Bengals' offense is better than people think, and it's putting up points. And if they're not getting after Burrow, they're going to do the same thing that the Steelers did and just throw it all day long. I mean, I think the Titans win this game, but still, you know, this is a good kind of get-right game for the Titans defense, and we'll see what adjustments they make.
And I think offensively, too, going up against a Bengals defense that doesn't defend the run very well at all, to me, this is a feed the big man game. Give Derrick Henry plenty of carries. You know, let him get his yards, get out of there with a dub.
Yep, I completely agree. You know, just take care of the ball, control the clock, control the game, let the big man eat, you know, throw it around when you need to. But really, you know, just kind of limit yourself on potential mistakes. Just handle business, get the win and get out, and, you know, you'll be sitting pretty.
Alan Bell is our guest. As we, you know, spin it around the league a little bit, you know, watching that Monday night game, the Rams taking care of business against the Bears. I know the Bears are 5-2, but, you know, they're fugazi. I've been saying it all year. Nick Foles is getting battered behind the, you know, at quarterback. I don't know how this team is 5-2. Kudos to them for being 5-2, but the Bears, to me, are not a player. What say you?
No. I completely agree. Now, their defense is elite. Their defense is the reason that they're 5-2. I'm with you. You know, and Matt Nagy kind of showed everybody, you know, what he thinks and the confidence that he has in this offense, you know, at the end of the first half when, you know, he didn't even want to take a timeout to let the Rams punt because he didn't trust the punt return thing. He didn't trust the offense, nothing. He was just like, just go to halftime. So he kind of told us right there that there's no confidence, you know, in this situation. Here's the problem for them. You know, they were so quick to yank Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Nick Foles is better than Mitch. To be honest with you, they're probably both as bad as we think that they are. Their offensive line has no issue. You know, they have issues all over the place. It's just a bad offense. And couple that with they're doing everything wrong. I don't know what Ted Ginn Jr. is doing, you know, on punt return. But, I mean, Johnny Hecker had five punts, and all five landed inside the 10. Right? Like, they're just doing all the things wrong. So I'm with you. You know, that 5-2 is going to turn into 5-6 here pretty quickly.
You're probably right. Alan, I'm looking at some of these young quarterbacks. You know, we're going to see Burrow this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing him for a full game. I like what he's done. Justin Herbert is slinging it. And you know me, I'm a bitter Giants fan. My guy's tripping at the 20-yard line with nobody around him. I'm frustrated, man. What do you make of Daniel Jones right now? He's got, you know, he doesn't have a lot to work with. Evan Ingram's a bum, I think, in my opinion. You know, he dropped that pass. You know, does Daniel Jones, does he have a future in this league? If, you know, Peter King said this week, and I couldn't believe it. In every one of DJ's starts, every one, he's either fumbled or thrown an interception or both.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And, you know, look, I still believe in the kid. I think that there are severe, you know, talent issues on the Giants. But the problem is this, exactly what you just said. You know who else has severe talent issues? The Cincinnati Bengals, the Los Angeles Chargers, right? Like, they're not that good either. And we're seeing Burrow, Herbert, you know, just throw the ball around. And you know, that's what makes you kind of, you know, pause, you know, for concern. But I like Daniel Jones. You know, he just doesn't look comfortable. It doesn't feel comfortable. Like, Joe Burrow feels comfortable. His team might be terrible, but he looks like he knows what he's doing. And, you know, I'm not going to say that Daniel Jones doesn't, but it could be, you know, it could be play calling. It could be, numerous factors of things. But, you know, I can't give up on the kid just yet because, again, you know, he has no offensive line. His best player, Saquon Barkley, is gone. There's nobody to throw the ball to. It's just a tough situation. But, you know this, and I know this, and everybody else listening knows this, but, you know, as good as anybody. It doesn't matter what the excuse is. You're going to get 3 to 4 years, and whether it's your fault or not, team's probably going to move on, you know?
Yeah, I think a quarterback needs at least 3 years in the same offense before you really know what you have. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, and I'll say this, man. You know, talking about this and you know, just that exactly what you just said, Ryan Tannehill really changed my mind on a lot of things in regards to quarterbacks. And I know he's older, but, you know, what happened in Miami and then him coming to Tennessee, like, it just – it does go to show that talent does matter, coaching does matter, and you could have a star, you know, in your midst, not even know it, and you're just wasting your time, and it's like another team is saying, hey, please give me that guy. I can make him a star. So I'm with you, man. Like, you've got to give time, you know, to kind of flesh these things out.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield back in the good graces in Cleveland, had a monster game last week against Cincinnati, leads the last second drive for the Browns to beat the Bengals, and which is good, and a big part of me wants to see Baker Mayfield and the Browns do well, but you know, it seems like Baker Mayfield only does these things against the Bengals. He's got to do it against the Steelers and the Ravens and good teams before we really know if he's, you know, their long-term answer at Q, no?
Yep, absolutely. You know, and Baker Mayfield finds himself, you know, in a position where quarterbacks want to be. That, you know, you're good enough, you know, against the lower to middle average teams. And now it's time to prove yourself against the big boys of the NFL. That's a good place to be. Get yourself, you've at least passed step one. Right now, it's getting to step two, but that's the more difficult part of the situation. Compare it to, you know, a team in the NFL that is 1-15. Well, you know what? It's not that difficult to go from 1-15 to, you know, 5-11, 6-10. It's going from 6-10 to 10-6, which is the most difficult, right?
Sure.
So that's kind of where Baker Mayfield finds himself, and I think the kid can do it. Like it's almost like he has a little, and I'm not comparing the talent level, but like internally, he has some of that Michael Jordan in him to where he has to get battered in the media and get angry, mm-hmm. and then the kid comes out and plays. But if like nobody's talking about him, it's like he just kind of feeds off that. It just has kind of a mediocre game. So I'm with you, man. You know, now it's to the next level, and we'll see if he can do it. I know his defense can't. The Browns' defense is pretty legit, but, you know, we'll see about Baker.
Alan Bell, friend of show, is our guest, covers the NFL for CBS Sports Line, spinning us around the NFL. NFC, I think the Bucs are starting to separate themselves, man. Brady's got it going. Gronk finally looks like, you know, he's looking like his old self, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Brady forgetting what down it was. And, oh, my gosh, he was yelling at his team on the sidelines, turmoil. And now they seem to be on a roll right now.
They are. I mean, they are literally getting better and better each week, like right in front of our eyes. Think about it. It wasn't but a couple of weeks ago when the Bucs lost to the Bears. I don't even know how that happened. Right? But the Bucs really are offensively. I mean, you look at even Tom Brady. He's got 12 touchdowns in the last four games. Like you said, Gronk. 3 weeks ago, it literally looked like Gronk was one of us trying to play in the NFL. Like, he was out of shape. He couldn't run. You're like, man, this isn't even going to last till the bye for these guys. But Gronk, he really has. The last 2 weeks, he's looked incredible. And you couple all of that offensively with they have the best run defense in the NFL. They're the only team allowing less than 3 yards per carry. Those linebackers can get after it too. So the Bucs really are a fantastic team, and you know, we'll see what you know, Antonio Brown adds to this. The biggest part that I'm interested to see is you know, how Tom Brady's going to use Leonard Fournette, you know, in the short passing game.
Yep.
Because Brady's won 6 Super Bowls off doing that his entire career. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, what about Antonio Brown? Do you think he's a fit there in Buckland?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, you know, here's the thing with Antonio. Like, his talent is undeniable. The guy, you know, is incredible. But he just has the opportunity to napalm your locker room, and it only takes one day,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Like, it only takes one trip to, you know, the cryogenic freezer, and he melts his feet off, and the next thing you know, he doesn't want to wear his helmet. You know what I mean? Like, it only takes one day for this guy to go crazy. So I don't know what's about to happen. You know, history tells us the last 3 of these didn't work out. I don't know why we think this one will. But if it does, it's undeniable, man. The guy can put up numbers on the field.
We'll get you out of here with this, Alan. I'm taking great joy in watching the Dallas Cowboys melt down. Jerry is yelling at people on his weekly radio show, which, by the way, is ridiculous that the owner has a weekly radio show.
Yes.
What an egomaniac. He's melting down. The players seem like it's, you know, there's a mutiny in the locker room. You think Jerry's having buyer's remorse bringing McCarthy in, and do you think McCarthy could be one and done in Dallas?
I do, and here's the problem, is that there is an issue with the players and the coaching staff. to where it's almost, you know, it was immediate, right? And then, you know, once Dak Prescott went down, you know, it just kind of exacerbated all of it. And now it's out in the open. I mean, we already had 3 weeks ago anonymous players already saying that they've pretty much given up on this coaching staff, which is crazy. But you know what? I mean, that's a problem. And Jerry Jones is going to look at it and say, well, you know, I can stand by Mike McCarthy all I want, but, you know, the players have the leverage ultimately. And if it's the entire team, buddy, you got a problem. And then the biggest problem is going to be he's right back in this Dak Prescott contract situation yep. once again next year. It went from, you know, what should have been a really good year for the Dallas Cowboys to horrific in like 6 weeks. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
And I'm loving every minute of it, Alan. Thank you for being on, my friend. Always a pleasure, brother.
Man, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right.